symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Welcome in to a Grilling JR bonus episode. I am your host, Cassio, for this awesome evening tonight with the one and only, the Hall of Famer, good old JR, Mr. Jim Ross. How are you, sir?
I'm good, buddy. How are you, big boy? You all right?
Good to see you again, sir. We've got something you've never talked about in wrestling before. The Montreal Screwjob, of course, the 25-year anniversary just passed November 9th, 1997. We're at Survivor Series pay-per-view, Molson Center, what is now the National Day of Mourning in Canada, the Montreal Screwjob. We're going to watch this in its entirety, and it's just about a little over 20 minutes. Right. So before we start, Mr. JR, when's the last time you watched this match in full?
Never.
Never, since it happened.
Never.
That is incredible, and that's exactly why this is an ad-free show bonus episode right here. You're getting something that has never happened before, ever. JR's talked about it.
And it's very likely it will never happen again.
I like it. So let's roll that beautiful bean footage. Let's get into the Montreal Screwjob. We're not watching the entire Survivor Series tonight. We're just watching this match between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. If you're watching it with us, 3, 2, 1, play. Packed house.
Great atmosphere this night, Cassio. Of course, it was in Montreal. Bret's got his Canadian flag there to get a little of that home love, and it worked. They love this guy. A legit national hero was Bret Hart in Canada, no doubt about it.
You mentioned it before. You've talked about this match many, many times, and just previously, just this week on Grilling JR. You'll say when this bell rings. Let's hear you start this first. Man, that crowd's hot, buddy. Momentarily, and what an ovation for the 21-year veteran, Bret Hart, who debuted at the age of 19 in 1976 in Calgary, Alberta. It has been a long journey for the Hitman. This match was a long journey in itself. It took 18 months to get it done. And the smart money is that you will never, ever see it again.
Always was entertained by the signs when signs are popular.
You hate them?
No, I like them.
Brings a little flair to the match.
Yeah, and let you kind of know what people are thinking, what's on their mind. So there's the two men that are going to compete in this matchup. Really a strange night. It was a weird vibe in that building to me, and I didn't know what was going to happen at the finish. Last I heard, it was going to be a disqualification, but that was not to be, as we will find out.
You heard disqualification with Shawn going over, or Bret going over?
I don't even remember, and it wouldn't have mattered because the title wouldn't have changed.
Yeah.
It would have been irrelevant. A lot of controversy. I listened to Busted Open this week, and they were talking about, did a poll on who's the best pro wrestler, Bret or Shawn. Not that, the last I heard, it was Shawn was ahead by just a little bit, and they're getting the old proverbial jump start. So it's
bell hadn't even rang yet here.
No, and the fans are they're so ready for action. They were ready when they left the house. So Bret starting out very aggressively.
Bret Hart
I'm a big fan of headbutts, as long as I'm not getting any. I think it's one of the more underutilized maneuvers that you can, that we can do in pro wrestling that still looks viable and real and authentic.
Jerry, you said right after the bell rang, you said kind of a throwaway line, boy, you talk about controversy. Is that because you didn't know something was right, but you just knew something was going on this night?
Well, not really. The controversy was these two guys having cat fights and cuss fights and bad blood and saying things in public that they probably should have kept their lips tight. Just the controversy followed these two guys for, I think I said, 18 months.
Yeah.
So that was my point there. It had nothing to do with the finish. Now, I if somebody would have wanted to tell me what was really going to go down, I would not have wanted to know, just like I would not want to know in any match.
Yeah, you said on the latest episode of Grilling JR, you would have thought about it the whole time.
Yeah, that's it. I'd have second-guessed it like all the fans. I'd have rebooked it about 30 times. This is real dangerous out here. I know why they did it. Because they wanted to look real and authentic. So a little barricade wouldn't keep a real authentic fight from occurring. But getting out there in amongst them is chancy. There's Pat Patterson.
You know, usually when they go in the crowd, especially nowadays, you know, they've got the area kind of blocked off by security. And here it just looked like mania. They just went in and got swallowed up by the crowd.
Yeah, it was a little dicey, I'd say. And if you get a heel that's got a ton of heat on him, it's very easy to get stabbed or punched or whatever when you're in that sort of environment. Now, Michaels is trying to – he's being led in this match by Brett. Michaels now is being able to show – Brett's allowing him to show just that Michaels is a tough guy. And he's coming right back and giving Brett back everything and more that Brett gave to him. So it's interesting psychology of that because, you know, Sean, to a large degree, had been looked at as a finesse guy. And now the flag comes into play. He's getting choked by the American flag, if you notice. Oh, how cruel and evil punishment that is. A Canadian getting choked by an American flag in Montreal.
According to the Wrestling with the Shadows documentary, it was supposed to end with a double DQ with a DX run in, and of course, Hart Foundation run ins both.
That could have been. Hey, that's viable. It's plausible.
Yep.
But you know, here's the thing.
Now they've got them blocked off a little bit. The refs are doing a little better job here.
Yeah, well, referees aren't paid to do this. First of all, well, they're not. They got all the hands on deck. There's Jerry Briscoe. That's just a giant male pattern baldness spot. And Mike Chioda, is that Mike Chioda? I think it is. Michaels never was afraid to take a bump. He took about as good an ass whipping as anybody I've been around ever. Timmy White's out there. Bless his heart. God bless him. We had a good crew of referees.
You got Jimmy Cordero, Slaughter.
So, yeah. Sarge.
Vince.
Well, there he is. So it's just been a fight so far, and that's kind of what I didn't expect to come out and see Sean with a series of arm drags a la Ricky Steamboat or Ricky Morton or somebody. This was a fight from start to finish. Now Sean's trying to end it by pile driving Brett on the floor. Instead, it's Sean who got backdropped on the floor. And there ain't no the carpet is all the padding there is. So you can imagine how that feels. And somebody out there is going to say, well, they know how to fall. Don't be an idiot. Don't insult your own intelligence. Hope you don't say that in front of your children because they'll think daddy's really stupid.
I don't want to fall anytime, anywhere, on anything.
No, so, me neither.
Much less a suplex on the carpet. You know, you mentioned that was interesting to me that Brett was letting Sean call it for a little bit there. Was that kind of a rite of passage between the top guys, so you speak, to go, hey, I'm going to let you call this for a little bit. That means I trust you.
Oh, I think so. And when Brett was trying to, you know, Sean, they're telling a story here. And Brett is just punishing the shit out of Sean. Obviously, as you can see. So we're proving, and I don't know what we're saying on commentary, but we're proving, or hopefully our visuals are proving that Shawn Michaels is a tough guy and can give Bret Hart or anybody else a run for their money if it comes to fighting. We know how good he is and just pure pro wrestling. You notice I don't see, has the bell rung? I don't remember. Cause if they, if they haven't, they suspended the count out rule by about an hour. A lot of personalities involved in this. You can see that the referees, like I said, all hands on deck. That was one of McMahon's favorite sayings. We got all hands on deck tonight, fellas.
You know, they said, of course, reported many places that the only people to know who was taking place, that this was going to happen the way it did, Vince, Sean, Hunter, and Briscoe. And Jerry Briscoe told Hebner, of course, right before they went through the curtain.
Yeah.
Apparently, Pat Patterson and Slaughter, who are ringside here, did not know, apparently.
I don't, I can believe that.
Yeah. Oh, he's in the ref.
I can believe that, Brett, knocking down the referee, adding a little Wild West to this thing. It's out of control. It's two amazing athletes who disdain each other. They hate each other. And quite frankly, I believe in real life, that was the case. There was a time when these two men totally despised each other. And it's amazing they got the results they got in the ring, putting their animosities aside. I always appreciated that.
You know, it kind of gets lost. Everybody talks about the ending, but until the ending, this was a hell of a match.
Yeah,
I mean, it gets lost in the shuffle a lot.
Yeah, well, the finish supersedes everything that could have been done. There's nothing they could do that's going to have people talk about that as opposed to talking about the finish.
Yeah.
Vince had I sure miss old Pat Patterson. He was such a influential part in guys like Brett's career, Rock. He laid out so many big matches at pay-per-views. All the talent would rather have Pat be their producer than anybody else. Because Pat was there. He's done it. That's what happens. You learn to do all those finishes and these great matches when you work in a territory for 14 years, like Patterson did in San Francisco. You know, you have to change your matches up. You got to change things. And now Brett's returning the favor. See, it's back and forth. Brett returning the favor using the Canadian flag, to choke Sean.
Do you remember in the business any quote-unquote screw jobs before this, JR?
No, I thought about
nothing
that.
Nothing major?
Nothing major, huh?
You know,
nothing, and nothing that even remotely approached this.
Yeah, I mean, the wrestling is as big as it's ever been at this point.
Yeah, Ben said, look at the crowd. They're full all the way to the top.
By the way, for the record, they must have suspended it because, yes, while they were back at the entrance, the bell did ring, so they must have suspended it for an hour, as she said.
Maybe it's just simply a no disqualification. I don't even remember. I mean, this has been a long time ago. But I'll tell you this right now. That's all. Sean will nip up. He usually does. I don't know how I can remember what I was going to the store for after earlier today, and I can remember a nip up. But you got two great ones here, man. This match that we're seeing right now would hold up today just as easily as it did then. It's that good. It's timeless. Psychology is perfect. The selling is perfect. So now they're setting us up for Sean to make build some more steam, more heat on Brett. So I guess it is a no DQ match.
Bringing that flag back.
Yeah. Well, that was a calling card. You know, Brett, that Canadian USA angle got over. It was just terrific. And it hadn't really been overdone. You know, and I don't know that too many people, especially today, perceive our neighbors to the north as being our enemies. I never have.
No.
But it worked. Right. Maybe because it was new and fresh. It was different. Imagine that. Having unique creative. Look at that big redneck out there in those overalls. He's wanting to get him some.
He looks like he's from my neck of the woods.
He trained on cornbread and gravy.
yeah, he's a big old boy. He's tall. Look, bottom line, Bret Hart was a legend before the bell ever rang in this match. But do you think this match took his legacy to another place or another level, or would he have been the same?
I don't think it affected it hardly at all. He just kept getting better and better. He's just so consistent.
Yeah.
You know, he was just so consistent and safe. He didn't hurt anybody. You know, he laid his stuff in. Now look, Sean working the crowd perfectly as a chicken shit heel would do. So they're having a good old fight. I don't know where they're going headed with this deal, but we'll find out here momentarily, I suspect.
Oh. Head first onto the steps.
Yeah, and Brett took his own bump. He controlled that bump.
Oh, we got another flag. Got the Canadian flag again on the stick.
And now the flagpole being introduced as a weapon. So the babyface is selling. He's getting more and more heat on the heel, which did seem to me in hindsight, now looking back at it, that maybe that double disqualification finish was on the drawing board for internal consumption. I just stay away from everybody on those, like on this day here. I didn't hang around the town at all. If I did, I saw them at catering and said hello or whatever. Sometimes they had an issue to talk about a talent relations issue or something. Pay. The two big issues in wrestling never change. Cash and creative. Somebody leaves, somebody's pissed off, somebody's got the boo-boo face. It's generally over cash or creative.
You know, I've heard you and Tony Schiavone talk about it as well. Sometimes not knowing the finish, so you guys could call it, you know, like you said, you deliver the truth. And that's what Vince wanted from you, deliver the truth to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't a rare thing for you to not know the exact finish, correct?
No, I'd rather not. Most matches I called, especially big matches, I knew, it didn't take a genius to figure out what direction you're going in.
Right.
In this match, it's easy. You're going to make Sean the heel, the villain. You're going to make the hometown, the hero of Canada, the babyface for this audience, because the fans at home are hearing the natural audio of the crowd. They're booing Sean. You can hear that vividly. And they're cheering Brett, which was vociferous as well. So that was our story. And so now we're just following along the pictures. You know, the wrestlers, they're making music. And Lawler and I are trying to provide the lyrics. That's what they call a hope spot. Sean had built the momentum. Brett now is turning the corner. He's going to get back on the advantage, hopefully. And now he's going to work on Sean's leg. And that'll be part of this great storytelling. You always got to have a place to go back to. So now Brett may go back to the legs at some point here. I don't remember. But Sean cheated, as all villains will do, to free himself from that predicament. These guys are there. This is a physical match. You know, like I said, I haven't watched it back. I've heard enough about the Montreal screw job but the irony of this Montreal screw job issue is that we're never going to not hear about it.
Yep.
If nothing else, every year in November, it's going to be brought up. It's like the match I call with Foley and Undertaker in the Hell in a Cell. Every June 28th, it comes back around. That's where Foley got thrown off the top of the cell.
I mentioned earlier, though, that's the crazy part. This, regardless of the finish, this was a hell of a match.
Yeah.
Everything that we're watching now, hell of a match. Like you've said, perfect story. Look at that.
That's the first false finish in the match. They laid out this long story. They built all this momentum. They established their roles. And now they're Brett's going back to work on that leg. See how smart he is. He started that a few minutes ago, and now he's returning to it. So you debilitate a body part, and you isolate it, and then you start punishing it. And hopefully that punishment will lead to the finish. That's kind of the basic philosophy. Brett's the only guy I've ever seen do this. I don't know where the hell he got that at.
Figure four on the post.
Yeah. And you got to have a no DQ, no count out type match to get it done. I don't know why Earl's counting, but maybe he's working on his math.
Crazy to think that both of these guys, I mean, you know, Brett's leaving, but both of these guys will be gone from the WWF in 4 months. Shawn left, of course, after WrestleMania 14 when he injured his back at the 98 Rumble. Crazy to think both of these guys are gone in 4 months.
Yeah, but it also shows you how resilient the pro wrestling business is.
Yeah.
Next man up. There's for every two guys that leave, there's 10 already there that want that spot.
It's crazy like that in every sport, right? You think, well, they can't go on without me, but they guess it's like shark teeth. They just keep going, and we keep enjoying wrestling.
Yeah, it can, and what it does, it forces change. And I said this many times in our podcast, you know, wrestling fans are universal in the fact that they like surprises and they like reality. They don't, you know, don't, the basic nature of pro wrestling can easily insult your intelligence. You want to eliminate those moments if you can. And again, Brett, working on that leg, it's just common sense. Young guys, what makes these guys great? Well, they're telling a story here. I hope young guys that are watching this, maybe some are, well, see what Sean's selling like a drunk man, as Ernie Ladd used to say. And Brett is maintaining the continuity of his match. They're telling this story and they're connecting the dots along the way. And it looked like Sean was gonna give up.
Yes. Watching this, thinking about when I watched it back then, I thought right here was the end. I mean, that, you know, the fan in you goes, there's no way he's getting out of this. He's in the middle of the ring. Brett's got it locked in.
Sean's doing a great job of selling. He's not even swallowed his gum. Look at all those Austin shirts out there.
Tons. Every sign, every other shirt.
So now Brett finally fights, gets to the ropes. It's going to cause a break. I say this on TV sometimes. Brett was out of bounds. So when you get out of bounds, i.e. touching the ropes like that, referee's got to step in and break it up. Call separation. Sean's selling. Brett's showing the after effects of their combat in this thing. This is a great crowd too, all night, but this is what they came to see. This is what they're waiting on. And plus they sell a lot of Molson beer there. Oh yeah, man. This is a beer drinking crowd. They're ready. They're fired up.
We're just a minute or two away here from the end of this. Already.
Side Russian leg sweep. Now Brett's got back in full control.
Yeah.
He's worked on the leg. He's isolated the leg. It's set up for him to win with a sharpshooter. And he's just, there's no looking back. He's got everything under control. There's nothing to be alarmed about. He's in total command is Bret Hart.
Even the guys in the front starting to stand up. They know this has got to be getting close and they're excited for it. Look at him. Oh.
So here we go. They're turning the corner for the home stretch here, which would lead to, people are talking about this damn thing for decades, such as tonight. Sean had Earl by the shirt, positioned him correctly to get, now all three are down. It's a triple down. Sean looking around to find Earl. Earl's now the key component to this whole equation.
Because he's got to be in the right spot.
Yeah. He can't have his head down selling if there's a pin attempt. So, but everybody's their spots. Earl's right where he needs to be. Sean now adding insult to injury. You've seen heels do this all the time. Get the baby face and the baby face's favorite hold, finish hold, and there you go. There you go. How long does Earl wait? And there it is. The deed just went down, and Brett holding on to Sean's leg. Sean really was, I think, very leery that he might get hurt here. But he separated. Sean should win an Oscar for this.
Yeah, he's even looking confused.
I think that's where Brett got, Vince got that big loogie, about the size of a Fritos chili pie.
My buddy Road Dog, Brian James, says it's the best loogie ever launched.
Might have been. Might have been. Look at all the security. Frisco, don't stop. You're going.
Yeah, what a quick. Well, I mean, you think about it now, you know something's going on because nobody ever exits the arena that fast.
No, it's a very tense moment. You know, you don't know what's going to happen because it's unprecedented. I've been doing this a long time, and I've never been in that kind of situation, that position before. And so you, by not being there or not having it occur and you being a part of it, it's unpredictable. You just really don't know how everybody's going to react. And as was documented by the Brett's movie crew was there by happenstance. A lot of conspiracy theorists thought, well, there's something going on because they were going to be there all along. They're filming a documentary. So they were going to be there. So one didn't have anything to do with the other, but they got some great footage because they were backstage and all the stuff went down and Brett knocked out Vince.
What was going on in your ear from the truck as soon as the finish happened?
Nothing. Hell no.
Kevin Dunn wasn't in your ear at all?
No. They're in my ear to tell me how much time we had left before we're leaving the air.
They're letting you do whatever you want.
Yeah, well, why not? Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That's what you're paying me for. If I can't get the job done, then get some other guy to set his ass out there and do it. But, yeah, I just now I'm in my groove. And that is the Cowboy Bill Watts, you know, some of those dusty finish type deals where you had to get in it or get out of it. And, they were good with me on that deal. They let me roll. And whatever I said, good, bad, or indifferent, was in my head. I played off Lawler. Lawler played off me. And then the thing that we listened to very intently was, how much time do we have left before we go off the air? And that's the only thing I got from the truck. And that was cool. I had no problem with that. No complaints here from me on that deal. As a matter of fact, I appreciated it because it let me work. You're creating content, man. You know how it is. You create content every day.
Yeah.
And you probably don't have somebody in your ear say, okay, now say this, then he'll say that. And then, you know, bullshit.
Right.
It sucks. It's not fair to the fans. Give them what you got. Give them everything you got in your world, within your context, if you know what I'm saying. And give it to them with reality and passion and believability. And that's what we try to do there. Then all of a sudden, I know we got a very quick count going off the air, like 5 or 10 seconds max. So that was it. I don't even know what I said. Good night or whatever. That's about it. I mean, you know, what do you have time to say? So it wasn't a big preamble. Drive safely, everybody. And to all the sick and the crippled and shut-ins, take care of yourself. So, you know, nothing like that. Just, it was but it was chaotic. And then it got more chaotic when the show was over. And, you know, it's just trying to, the house of cards kind of fell. And as the talent relations head, I was trying to do my best to put the cards back in order. So that we have 52 cards in the deck. They just got to be reshuffled now. And we lost a lot of confidence in the talent, you know, or Mick Foley especially was upset, but there are others. He wasn't only him. And so Vince and I talked. I said, he said, what do you want to do? I said, I think we're just the ones that want to go home. So let them go home.
Which and Mick was included in a couple others.
Anybody. You want to be here and you're upset and this has got you really bothered or your mind's not on your business. This is not a business where it's not, you're going to sit down and get up to on your Facebook and start typing this shit. You know, you screw up, you can hurt somebody badly forever. And guys, some guys, it's like grieving, you know, there's actually grieving going on because people felt so badly for Brett after what all he had done for the company and all the years he had been there. And he had been a big help to a lot of guys, always willing to help, advice and coaching, whatever you want to say, brainstorming. So, yeah, I just said, let them, if they want to go home without being, well, let's just send their ass home. We don't need them here. You know, there's going to be a pussy. You know, nothing like that.
Right.
You're looking at this the other side of it. And I think the office has got such a bad reputation anyway in wrestling and has forever. It has since I got in it. And that was in 1974. It ain't changed. They're untrusted, and unfairly so more often than not, but they're untrusted by the general populace of the wrestlers. Watch the office. So I don't know what's going to happen. I thought I was supposed to get a big push. So all the big push did was make t-shirts and Conrad's making money off my push.
So go ahead.
You got questions?
I was just going to say this. Recently, Brett said to the Ringer that how important it was for him and Sean to make up in the ring back in 2010.
Yeah.
And he said that, you know, Sean wanted it off his back and I was in a position to take it off his back. And that was the best resolution for both of us. We've been friends ever since. And I'm grateful because we're in a better place today. I wish that none of the bad history had ever happened. I wish that I'd never left WCW because I probably wouldn't have had a stroke. And I probably wouldn't have had to wrestle Bill Goldberg. I was a WWE guy always.
Yeah.
I'm sure you had that same feeling. He was always a WWE guy.
Absolutely. He's a company man. And he had pride in it. Unlike a lot of athletes today in the mainstream where you don't hear too many guys staying with the same team for 15 years, let's say. It's just in baseball you used to years ago. When I was a kid, I can tell you the starting lineup of every baseball team in the major leagues because there's only a few teams and the players didn't move around.
Right.
And Brett didn't want to move around. This is home. And it was a big deal. So, I'm with him all the way on that deal. I'm glad that they got their stuff behind them. A lot of it was childish. I just got to be honest with you, man. A lot of it was just really childish. You know, and who got the biggest this and who's got that and all that. And Sean was really good about Vince loved Sean. He loved Brett, but Vince did not identify with Brett as much as he identified with Sean, in my opinion. Vince told me on more than one occasion that Sean reminded Vince of Vince when Vince was younger, defiant, you know, attitudinal, all those things. And so he had that special relationship Vince did with Sean. And that's not saying he didn't have, so here's how the wrestling media, the wrestling fans, some think. JR said Vince really liked Sean. I guess Vince didn't really like Brett. How did you come up with that answer, Einstein? Seriously. Yeah, he liked him fine. He loved him.
Yeah.
Young Bret Hart didn't remind Vince of young Vince McMahon. Shawn Michaels did, and it's all about the attitude, not the size of their arms or their muscles or, you know, all that stuff. It was about their attitude, their outlook, their approach on life. So, but I wish it never happened too, because it caused issues in the locker room because you had two strong factions that supported their guy.
Yeah, I was about to say, I've talked to, of course, fans, but even guys in the business. Everybody at that time was kind of either team Vince, team Brett or team Sean right then. Right.
Yeah.
And it kind of divided the locker room.
There was no Geneva. There's no Switzerland. There's no neutral land. You're in this team or you weren't. And, you know, a lot of guys didn't say anything because they didn't want to get in the middle of anything or create any. The wrestlers are paranoid by nature anyway. And insecure among other mental deficiencies. It was just a matter of, it needed to be over, and those guys aren't getting any younger. You know, Brett's already dodged a serious health issue, that stroke. You know, Sean's got drug and alcohol free. He's relocated his family and he's living in Florida and he's doing a hell of a job at NXT. He's found his home at home. And I think if Brett wanted to commit more time to WWE, et cetera, then he would do a phenomenal job of whatever he did. I got guys that, like FTR and AEW, they're the biggest Bret Hart fans in the world.
Yeah.
But he influenced their career and how Brett structured his game and how they can use some of that stuff to structure their game. So he's a big influence still to this very day. But if he wanted to invest more time on the road and a little bit more time to the business in that area, he'd be great help to anybody. You know, would I like to see him around AEW more often? Hell yeah. Because if nothing else, he'll sit and tell stories and give guys advice. Great coach.
So, yeah, regardless of where he's at, Bret Hart's good for the business.
Absolutely. Big time. You can't get enough of guys like Bret Hart in your locker room, even if for a day.
Vince said that, you know, part of the way this went down is that he couldn't afford Bret. You think that was, I mean, he could have afforded Bret. Do you think that is because he knew he was going all in on Shawn and knew he had to put all his chips there?
I don't think so. I think it's just a matter of math. Our cash flow was horrible. We weren't drawing.
So it was a legit, I can't afford Bret.
Yeah, because that was the biggest deal that Vince had ever offered anybody.
Do you remember it's shown where Bret tore up the monitors there at the announcer's table? Well, you mentioned on Grilling JR.
I was gone,
baby.
You kind
of got escorted out of there, right?
Right away.
You didn't see any of that part?
Uh-oh. Well, I might have looked back and saw him doing it, but I was gone.
Yeah,
Lawler and I were both gone. Two or three guys grabbed us, took us out of there. Just to get us out of there. You know, they weren't so concerned that Bret was going to assault Lawler or me. They were concerned, me maybe, because of the talent relations component. Because Bret for years would have probably sworn that JR had something to do with it. And I didn't. And we got past that. So Bret and I are great friends right now. He's one of my favorite people in wrestling by far. He's in that Austin category, you know, where you know, he's a man's man.
Did you have a moment where you squashed it with him, or did it just gradually over time?
I think it gradually over time kind of faded. But I think we had somewhere along the way a little conference, just shoot the shit for a second. And I told him, I hope that he realized by now that I had nothing to do with the Montreal screw job. And he kind of smiled. He said, I know. He said that was, but they're just from our own protection. They got me out of there. I don't know where Lawler went. He just disappeared. I'm telling.
we've seen, like you mentioned, Bret's own documentary was there. And we've seen that tenuous moment where his wife is really giving the business to Hunter. Have you seen that footage? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen some of it. I wasn't there. I was in a room locked up.
Right.
I didn't see any of that stuff. Well, I'm glad I didn't. For what reason? So I got more dirt to tell? Get more dirt? Conrad loves the dirt. Those big fat cheeks. I had no business being back there. Oh, you could have, but the dirt you could have got. You could have seen all this great shit. Look, I've seen all the great shit I needed to see. I just called a 3-hour pay-per-view on a very stressful, stressful day. I'm done. And I don't need to call the dirt sheet or call Meltzer or anybody else and say, hey, guess what happened? You won't believe this. Eyewitness report. It's crazy.
Well, as we watch it back, first time you've ever watched it back since that night, just any thoughts that popped through your head?
It's a better match. The match got, like you said earlier, the match doesn't get the hugs and the flowers, as they say, the kids say now. It hasn't gotten its flowers in a long time. I hope we gave it some flowers tonight because they had a very physical fight.
Yeah.
And you notice how many false finishes were attempted? One. Now,
yeah. I just remember that first one and one other pin, and that's it.
Yeah, two maybe.
Yeah, two. I think two.
They didn't wear that out.
Right.
Talents nowadays wear that shit out. They don't have any common sense. You know, you make yourself look bad if you can't pin somebody. So why would you go for a zillion false finishes? Go for the false finishes when it's time to go for them and then turn it on.
Make
so,
a big deal.
Yeah, it's, I'd like to have a, I watched, I can't remember what, I watched a match with MJF the other day, one of his matches, maybe the last match he had, before all this Moxie angle started. And I love doing that. Because we can stop it, start it. It's like watching football film.
Yeah.
And then you got to double team this guy. You got to get your head on the outside, whatever the case may be. But he's a hell of a student of the game. He's a very bright kid. It's going to be interesting to see how great he's going to become. And that'll all start kind of in earnest in on the pay-per-view on Saturday night. as we're recording this on this Saturday night. So it's going to be good. I'm excited about it. It's a hell of a card, and it should be fun. I don't know how we're going to get the world's largest announce table. There'll be some hurt feelings with that deal. Everybody can't be out there at once. I get it. So I don't mind tagging out.
Thankfully, you don't get paid by the word, right?
Nope. I sure as hell don't. If there was, I'd be elbowing my way into the announce table. Or take my own stuff out there, you know, my own mic. So it's going to be a good week. But I enjoyed it. I think the match doesn't get the credit that it deserves because it's all about the screw job. And I was glad we watched it because I had forgotten how physical it was and the story that those guys told.
Incredible. A
really good story. All the little nuances. The Brett starting on the leg, then getting taken off, then going back to it. And that was his finishing sequence where it looked like he was going to win by the sharpshooter, as we mentioned earlier. And that was not to be, obviously, but they were telling a great story. And but somebody, you know, it's just too bad you got to have a finish in a sense. But if everybody was acting sane and everybody wasn't so feelings hurt, feathers ruffled, and being influenced by outside influences and all that other shit, those guys could have had two or three matches like that on pay-per-view.
Oh, incredible. That would have been fun to see.
Yeah, and they would just kept getting better and better. So it was fun. I'm glad we did it. I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Well, Mr. Ross, it is an absolute honor to watch it with you, your first time ever. That is pretty incredible. Always good to chat with you.
Yes, sir.
And like you ended the pay-per-view, the official line will end it tonight. Good night from Montreal, my friend.
Good night from Jacksonville Beach.
Good night from Huntsville, Alabama. Good night, ad-free shows. Thank y'all for being top guys and top gals. And thank y'all for watching this bonus episode of Grillin' JR. Good night, everybody.
We appreciate it. Eat more barbecue. JR'sBarbecue.com. Thank you very much.
Get some of that red-ass hot sauce, baby.
Yeah, man. It's out there. It's ready. Waiting on you.